بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I found this very interesting clip from the BBC, this nature show, and it was showing how there was a colony of ants. This colony of ants in the Amazon when a flood came. And it was very interesting to see how all the ants banded together, right, to basically build a raft. Okay, so they all clung onto each other and they built a raft which started floating in the water. And all of this was being done for especially the protection of the queen ant. Okay, so all this entire colony was just ready to, you know, protect and serve the queen ant. And when they landed, finally hit dry land, all the ants were like, you know, all servants, just like running around, making sure that the queen was okay and lifting her up and carrying her, you know, onto ground and just, you know, doing everything they could to protect her and to make sure that she survived. The queen ant probably felt that, you know, she has a lot of control, and, you know, we call it the queen, and we think that, you know, she would have solid control over the colony. But in fact, the reality is that the queen ant doesn't really have much control over the colony. The other ants are there to support and protect her and help her. But at the same time, she doesn't really have full control. In fact, she has very little control over the colony as a whole. You know, she has no known authority, or she doesn't make decisions. Instead, her sole function is to reproduce. And that's what she's there to do, and all the other ants are there to support her in that and protect her, but at the same time, she doesn't have any full control over that. When you look at our examples, right, when we are at home, right, for you know, brothers and sisters, when we are at work, or different parts of our life, at different times, we feel like we have control over things, right? So we have control over our finances. We have control over people who are under us at work. Or we have control, you know, to a certain degree over our families and our children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us control over materials as well, right? So the human being has been given the intellect, which gives us the ability to procure and find and look for different materials that we can use for our own benefit. And we use our creative minds to control all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, has made available to our disposal. And we try to use our minds to use them in the most appropriate way that we feel is the most appropriate. And once we start getting good at that, right? Once we start getting good at that, we start getting confident, right? So if somebody has been working for a long time in a particular field, right, or you become an expert in a certain field, you become confident of your abilities. Our physical abilities. So if there's an athlete or someone who is very good at what they do physically, then, you know, that person also becomes confident of their strength. If we have a very sharp mind, then we become confident of that. That, you know, our mind is very sharp. We can outwit, you know, others. We can figure out if somebody is trying to deceive us. We can figure out if you're, you know, somebody's trying to cheat us, and we feel like, you know, we have that power. If we have wealth and we accumulate wealth, that too gives us the feeling that we have, you know, we have power now, that we have, you know, a certain amount of wealth, and we can use that wealth. We can use it to exercise control over different people and different things in this world. Now, the queen ant, so in her own mind, in her own world, you know, she may be the leader, she may be the queen, she may be the most important, you know, member of society, but the reality, in fact, is very different, right? We know that because we're much larger than the queen ant, right? So even though she's the queen in her society, right, and everyone is working to support her, and she might think, you know, she's the queen, but at the same time, what's the reality? That if we just take one foot and stomp it down, the queen ant and her entire colony is gone, right? Or at least the queen ant is gone. If you do it a few times, then the entire colony could be gone as well. So our situation is very similar, that we too start thinking that, you know, we are very strong. But if you go up a little bit even, right? If you just take a little different perspective, we realize how insignificant we actually are. right? So I may be standing in front of you as an imam, I may feel like, okay, I'm speaking, I have this platform, I have authority, whatever, right? But the moment, you know, we just go up slightly and we realize, oh, there's so many other people here, right? There's so many other structures that are there. I mean, subhanAllah, every time I fly, it's just, I guess I'm still a kid, but I always find it amazing when I look down, right? I look down and when the plane's about to land and I just see like little cars and little buildings and office towers and everything. There are all these people are who you know, many people who feel like they're very powerful, right? But you just go a few thousand feet up in the sky and you look down and you realize how small you are, right? And this is just from an airplane from a few thousand feet above, right? Imagine if you go into space, then the, you know, the entire cities start looking insignificant. Entire countries start looking insignificant, right? Entire continents start looking insignificant. And you go up slightly a bit more, right? In the solar system or beyond into the universe, then we're practically nothing, right? We realize how insignificant we are. Just like we look at the ants and we say, okay, they're insignificant, they don't matter to us. That in fact is our reality. And no matter how strong we may be, right? No matter how strong we may be physically, mentally, psychologically, socially, politically, financially, the fact of the matter is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, right, addressing all human beings, not just believers, not just those who are rich, not just those who are powerful. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah." That, O mankind, you are poor in your relation to Allah. Right? No matter what status you feel you have, at the end of the day, when it comes to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, what your significance is in front of Allah, you are poor. You are the ones who need Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. And Allah, He is the absolute, the owner of praise. He is the one who is rich. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, just like if you find, you know, a lot of times children are studying here, we're praying here, and there's a ladybug or there's, you know, a fly or something. Kids get all excited and they're like, oh, can we take it out? Should we kill it? You know, this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. That if He will, right, if He wills, He can rid of you and bring instead some new creation, right? So if you think you're all that, you know, you're very valuable, you're very strong, then know that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not hard. Allah can easily wipe you out and bring about another creation, right? Just like we feel we have power over ants and insects, right? We could easily swat them, you know, put some spray, pick them up, throw them away, stomp over them, they're gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do much more than that, of course. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And this is not something, this is not a hard thing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something difficult for Allah. So no matter what we have, right, this is for all of mankind, no matter what we have, we could have, you know, all the riches in the world, we could be the most powerful person in the world. But when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to how we are in reality in front of Allah, we are all poor. And the magnitude of this, right, the magnitude of this, it's easy to hear that verse or just to read it and say that, okay, we are poor, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the true magnitude of this, or a small part of the magnitude of this, can be understood through this hadith Qudsi, right, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates that. When Allah says, "Ya ibadi, kullukum dhallun illa man hadaytu," that my servants, all of you are liable to error, right? All of you can be misguided, except for those whom I guide onto the right path. Fastahduni ahdikum. So therefore, seek guidance from me. Seek guidance from me, so that I should direct you onto the right path. So even the fact that you feel that, you know, you are fortunate, you are believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put iman in your hearts and you're Muslims and so on, even that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want it to be guided. If you seek guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. Ya ibadi, goes on. Kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtu. O my servants, all of you are hungry. All of you are hungry, meaning all of you are needy, except for those whom I feed. فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِي أَطْعِمْكُمْ. That therefore, seek food from me so that I may feed you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about things we take for granted. Right? The things we take for granted, our iman, our food. Right? We take it for granted. Oh, we have money in the bank account, we'll go to work, we'll get a check, we'll get money, we'll go to the store, we buy food, that's it. Right? We've done everything. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you are all hungry. You are all hungry, you are all needy, except those whom I feed, so therefore seek food from me so that I may feed you. Ya ibadi kullukum a'arin إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُ. O my servants, all of you are unclothed. All of you need clothes. إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُ. Except for those whom I provide garments to. So even the fact that we have put clothes onto our bodies this morning, right, and I've gone to work or I've come to the masjid, this is through the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to be thankful for that. Allah says, فَاسْتَكْسُونِي أَكْسُكُمْ. That therefore seek clothing from me, so that I should clothe you. Ya ibadi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O my servants, you sin by night and by day. You sin by night and by day, even if you may not realize it. And I am there to pardon your sins. فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Therefore seek forgiveness from me, so that I should grant you pardon. Right? All of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give to us. All of these things Allah is ready to provide to us. And as you will see, no matter how much He provides, it doesn't affect Him. It doesn't affect Him. Right? But it is for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him. So, therefore seek forgiveness from me so that I should grant you pardon. يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَبْلُغُوا ضَرِّي فَتَضُرُّونِي وَلَنْ تَبْلُغُوا نَفْعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِي. That, O my servants, you can neither do me any harm, nor can you do me any good. Right? So sometimes we get the idea that, okay, we're making dua to Allah, our dua is not being accepted. Right? And things are not going as we would like them to go. So maybe, you know, we can somehow, you know, show our disappointment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not following His commandments. A'udhu billah. Right? That we can somehow, you know, show our displeasure with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, okay, you know what, Allah's not really helping me, so I'm not going to pray as regularly. Or, you know, I'm going to go just do this because, you know what, I think Allah doesn't care about me anyway. No. You cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot harm Allah, and no matter what you do, you can't do any good for Allah either, right? Whatever you do good, yes, it's for the pleasure of Allah, but in the end, it's for your own benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, O my servants, even if the first amongst you, O my servants, even if the first amongst you and the last amongst you, okay, the first human being and the last human being, and the whole human race of yours, okay, so starting from Adam alayhi salam to the last human being to breathe on this earth, if all of you and that of the jinns, okay, so you and the whole human race of yours and the jinns become as pious as the most pious heart of anyone amongst you. Okay, so if all of you, all this creation who has choice to choose between good and bad, if all of you become as pious as the most pious heart of anyone amongst you, of the most pious person in the entire human race, it will not add anything to my power or my kingdom. Right? So even if all of you became pious, all of you sought guidance and became good and started doing good things, it still will not add anything to my power. And O my servants, even if the first amongst you and the last amongst you and the whole human race of yours and that of jinns become as wicked as the most wicked heart of anyone amongst you, مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِن مُلْكِي شَيْئًا, that it will not decrease anything from my power or my kingdom. O my servants, even if the first amongst you and the last amongst you and the whole human race of yours and that of jinns gather together on a sector of land, if you all come together on a piece of land and all ask of me, and if I were to give every one of them what they asked, so just imagine, if the entire human race from beginning to end, all the jinns, everyone got together, right, in an assembly, and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that they ever wanted, right, wished for everything. And if Allah had answered all those prayers, that will not in any way decrease what I have any more than a needle decreases what is in the ocean when it is put into it. Subhanallah. So if you take a needle and dip it into the ocean and take it out, how much water have you taken out of the ocean? Practically nothing, maybe a drop or two, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if all the human beings that ever existed and all the jinns, everyone got together and asked for everything that they ever wanted and Allah granted them all they ever wanted, it still would not decrease decrease what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses any more than a needle decreases what is in the ocean when it is put into it. Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum. O my servants, these deeds of yours, which I'm recording for you, I shall reward you for them. So he who finds good should praise Allah, and he who finds other than that should not blame anyone but himself. Should not blame anyone but himself. So if you want to be guided, if you want to do what's right, right, if you want to be good, you seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah Allah will help you in doing that. But if you go the other way, and Allah has given us free choice, right? No one should ever think, no one should ever believe for a second that I'm committing sins, I'm committing kufr, I'm doing things which are incorrect, which Allah does not like, because Allah hasn't guided me, because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to sin. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you full permission to do either good or to do bad. Now if you decide to do bad, that is your fault, and you should not blame anyone but yourself. So really, what if you really ponder and think about this hadith, what it does is it shows, you know, that as human beings we are at the ultimate degree of neediness. We are at the ultimate degree of neediness, and really it puts us into our place. Right? Because like I said, we get caught up in our daily activities, we feel like we have power, we have this, we have that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing, and whatever you have, it's through my mercy, my permission, my will. If you ask me, if you seek help from me, if you seek these things from me, then I will give them to you. And everything that we are involved in is so small and insignificant. You know, we get stressed out, we get worried about things, you know, we get a lot of pressure, and you know, we think things are very important. Yes, they may be important to a certain level, but at the end of the day, we are all just like, probably smaller than an ant colony. Right? So just like an ant colony can be wiped out easily, doesn't really matter to us, right? In the same way, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are extremely insignificant. And not even so, right? Not even as much. Because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the value. This hadith gives us an idea of the value that Allah has for this world, or the lack thereof, rather. If the world to Allah were equal to a mosquito's wing, right? If the value of everything that this world contains, if it was worth to Allah the same value as we have for the wing of a mosquito, then He would not allow those who disbelieve in Him to have a sip of water from Him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala valued whatever this world contained, if He had, you know, any value for it, if He felt any importance for it, then He would deprive those who disbelieve in Him, who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of even a single sip of water. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no value for what this world contains. It's really insignificant. And therefore, He allows the human being to do whatever he wishes. He gives permission to the human being. Go ahead. You know, do what you want to do. We'll decide then on the Day of Judgment. So we are extremely needy. We are extremely poor in every single way. And we must realize this. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in other places in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. Right? Allah is the one who is free of all needs. Allah is the one who is rich. وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. Where are you? You are poor. Right? Fuqara coming from faqir. Right? When we look at fuqara, right? Faqir, what do you think? We think of people who are begging on the streets. Right? Something which, you know, we look down upon, sort of. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you are all faqir. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. Right? You are all needy. You are all beggars of me. You need to come and ask me. So we have to realize this. We have to realize that we are extremely needy in every single way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy and His compassion, and of His power. Then, after realize that, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and more and more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." That supplicating to Allah, right, seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah, is a form of worship. This is worship. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ. Then he read the verse, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse then. He said, your Lord has said, call me, I will respond to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, call me. Make dua. Call me, I will respond to you. Definitely those who show arrogance against worshipping me shall enter into the fire with disgrace. Right? So if you are reluctant to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, If you feel like you don't have time, right? You don't want to seek help from Allah. What does that say about us? What does that say? Why are we not doing that? Is it because of arrogance? Is it because we feel like we don't need Allah's help? Is it because we feel like, you know, what is Allah going to give us? You know, these du'as are just there. We just, you know, we should be seeking help from Allah, but you know, it's okay. We'll just do it when we have time, when we really need something. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, call me, I will respond to you. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another hadith, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's nothing more honorable to Allah than supplication, than making du'a. So like I said, you know, in our lives, we think about begging and, you know, asking from others, and which is something which we frown upon. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him for help is the most honorable thing that we could do. Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my servants ask you about me, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then tell them that I am near. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That I respond to the call of one when he prays to me. فَاسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّكُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that they should respond to me and have faith in me so that they may be on the right path. So this is one of the most, you know, arguably one of the most undervalued acts of worship. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking help, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in that verse, وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, right? Have faith. Have faith in me. Believe that I will respond to your calls. You know, we're, after Fajr, we read various hadith, and there are entire, you know, chapters which are filled with supplications for protection, right? For forgiveness, for different things, for different needs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, to, and these are, you know, authentic sahih hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, you know, what to read in the morning, what to read in the evening, right, at different times of the day before going to sleep and waking up. And you know, there are various promises that such and such person who reads this will be protected. Such and such person, you know, who reads this and this, they will, you know, will have provisions and so on and so forth. Right? So they're there. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about these things. The rewards are very great. It's very simple, in fact. Right? When you look at the hadith, when you read the hadith, it seems so simple. Right? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you know, read this du'a, and this is what's going to happen. But what's the missing ingredients for us to have faith in that? What's the missing ingredient? Having faith in that, having yaqeen in that, having iman, right? Having belief that this, yes, this in fact is true, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, and Allah does not go against His promises. Allah does not break His promises. So that is the key. We do, you know, acts of faith, you know, and then we don't see results, and we got disappointed. So the onus is on us, right? What do we need to do to ensure that our prayers are accepted? What can we do to improve the state of our du'as? What can we do to improve the state of our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because there can be actions, right? There can be different actions which come about as roadblocks to the acceptance of du'as, right? And the acceptance of worship. So a person could be seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there can be things which could be weakening that connection, which could be acting as roadblocks. And it's very important to know what these are, right? So I'll discuss some of them. So the first one, you know, blatant disregard for the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If we don't value, right? If we don't value the commandments of Allah, if we disregard the commandments of Allah, you know, it's one thing to make a mistake. It's one thing to make a mistake, to realize it, and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do tawbah. This is an act which Allah loves. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the fact that His human beings, His servants, they commit mistakes, then they turn back to Allah, they seek forgiveness, and even if they keep doing that, sincerely, right? If they sincerely seek forgiveness, Allah will forgive them, inshaAllah. And they'll try their best not to do it. And they end up doing it again. Right? They end up doing it again, and again they will seek forgiveness from Allah, inshaAllah Allah will forgive them. So that's alright. That's alright. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects that from us. But if we blatantly disregard the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't even recognize and realize that we are doing something wrong, and we are arrogant about it, right? Because if a person commits something wrong and doesn't even think that he did something wrong, and doesn't seek tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't seek forgiveness, then what does that tell us? It tells us that I'm being arrogant about it. Right? I think, oh, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. Right? What's wrong with this? That's okay. Right? Or, you know, have false hope that, oh, inshallah, Allah will forgive me. That's okay. That's okay. You keep going ahead. So blatant disregard for the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that do? It weakens our link with Allah. It weakens our link with Allah. The connection we have, right? It creates static on the line. Right? We start getting static. Right? And the signal starts getting weaker and weaker as we increase these acts of disobedience. So, you know, we are seeking favors from Allah, but at the same time we're disregarding, sometimes blatantly disregarding the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's not going to work. So that's the first thing to work on. One of the greatest, of course, of these, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, is eating haram, drinking haram, and wearing haram, basically having forbidden, impermissible things that we are enjoying, and forms of sustenance as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, talked about a person who undergoes a lengthy journey in a state that he is disheveled and dusty. He spreads his hand, you know, he appears very deserving of having his du'as accepted. He seeks help. He says, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord." However, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ. So however, his food is impermissible, his drink is impermissible, his clothes are impermissible, and he has been nourished with haram, with impermissible. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. So how will this call be answered? Prophet ﷺ tells us. Right? So something to be extremely careful about. Something to be extremely careful about, something to be aware of, that all of these actions that we indulge in, they can certainly have an effect on other aspects of our life. Right? So we think, okay, if we eat something haram, or if you're careless at some point, you know, what effect is it going to have? It goes into my stomach, the stomach's going to process it, waste will come out, khalas, what's the problem? But no, all of these things are interlinked. Right? And this has an effect on our spirituality, has an effect on the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can get for our deeds and for our du'as. Finally, a distracted heart. A distracted heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that when we make du'a, right, when we seek Allah's help, we should do it, first of all, with belief that yes, inshallah, Allah will accept my du'a. Do it with that yaqeen, right? Do it with expecting a positive response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not so that, okay, if I do, okay, maybe, you know, if not, then okay, 50-50. No. You have to go in with yaqeen that yes, inshallah, Allah will accept this du'a, and we don't do it absent-mindedly. Right? When we make du'a, we put our heart into it, not with a distracted heart. That we're seeking help from Allah, but we're thinking about something else. Or we're wanting to be something somewhere else. Or our heart is stuck somewhere else. No. When we offer, and this goes for, of course, our prayers as well, and our du'as too, that when we seek Allah's help, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we try to do it with all the focus that we can muster. Right? So that our heart is present, and we are feeling it. Right? We're feeling it. We're emotionally engaged in this du'a. Right? We're not just you know, it's not just lip service. Right? Or things that are just, you know, coming out off from our tongues, but rather we are engaged in this. We're feeling it. We're seeking, you know, the help of Allah. We're feeling our neediness. And you know, we're really feeling how poor we are. And we're truly seeking Allah's help. Then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy, will accept these. Right? And there can be different ways that Allah accepts a du'a. Right? So we could ask Allah for something, and if it's in our best interest, Allah may grant it to us. Right? Allah may grant us the du'a. We see the visible results of that. There could be other times when it is not in our best interest. Right, so we're asking for something, you're asking for a particular job, right? Or you're asking to get married to someone, right? You have negotiations going on, you have sent a proposal, you want it to be accepted, and you're making dua for that. But maybe it's not in your best interest, right? You don't know down the road, maybe it's not the best thing for you. So Allah might hold it off, and might grant you something better, something else, right? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may accept your du'a, not give you what you were asking for, but use it as a means to protect you from other things that were coming your way. Right? So just because we don't receive the results of our du'a right away, it doesn't mean that our du'a wasn't necessarily accepted. Right? But the key is that we have to be sincere in our supplication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do it with the presence of mind and the presence of heart. And we have to truly, you know, do it while we are engaged in truly looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our only source for everything that we can get, and that everything that we need. And as you know, we've talked about before, get into it, right? Get emotional, cry. It's okay to cry. It's good to cry, right? Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah likes it, right? When His servants show their neediness in front of Him. So cry in front of Allah, and show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yes, you are truly turning to Him for help. And there's no one else in the world who can help except Allah can, except He can help. And if you do it with true sincerity and with this understanding that we're really nothing and Allah can give us everything, then inshallah you will see these results and things will happen inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give in different ways. You know, sometimes you hear about miracles or things that happened to people in the past who were pious and you say, how could this happen? Right? It was due to the sincerity of their prayers. The ikhlas, the sincerity, the yaqeen that they had. And if a person does it with that, then you will see inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us more and more and more. May Allah protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us understand, realize our true, you know, insignificance in the larger realm of things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to seek from Him the way He likes best. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us everything that is good for us, whether we like it or we don't, or whether we know about it or not. Ameen wa akhwada wa alhamdulillah.